You know, that's it. If it's well with your soul, if you know things are right between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else is ultimately going to be all right in your life. If it's well with your soul. Beautiful song, Paul beautifully sang. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the perfect storm. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt. Lord, I ask you today to touch me, to preach your word, Lord, to give me ability and to give me the verbiage, Lord, that you once said today. And I'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for that. And Lord, bless your people today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, unexpectedly, I had the privilege of meeting up with an old friend whom I used to pastor at Mount Vernon, Ohio. I think you've heard me tell his great testimony, a little bit of it before. His name is Dale Pribinow. And he and his lovely wife, Vicki, along with my brother-in-law, Roger, and Lori, came down our house to visit for a little bit. And we were sitting around discussing the Lord as Dale, who God has done such a tremendous work in this man's life. I'm going to have him in sometime to testify for you because it'll be a blessing. But Dale was bound terribly by alcohol. And you see the effect that alcohol can have on a human being in someone like Dale. Because when he's one of the gentlest, kindest spirits now that you would ever want to be around, and was even before he knew the Lord, except when he drank. And when he drank, he would become very violent, and he would beat Vicki and berate her. And I asked him if I could share this, and he said, absolutely, Pastor, you go ahead. And I didn't know the full details. I knew I'd ministered to him several times, he and I going out, just he and I. And me telling him the message of the cross, as Dale, like most people, was trying to find his freedom from alcohol through human effort and through human strength, and it was failing him miserably. Finally, so much so that one day Vicki came in my office, and she said, I'm going to leave him, Pastor. She said, I can't take it anymore. And I am never one who would advocate divorce, but I knew of the situation. And I believe the scripture says God's called us all to live in peace. And it appeared like Dale was never going to come to the Lord to get free from the alcohol that so had him bound. And I said, Vicki, I'll pray for you. I said, I won't tell you not to do it. I said, I'll just pray for you. And you do whatever the Lord puts in your heart to do. She said, well, I'm pretty settled. I'm leaving him, Pastor. And she went home that very day, packed her stuff, and moved out of the house and left Dale there all alone with his alcohol. And there's something I want to say to you before I go any further with this story, never doubt the power of this message that we preach. Never doubt it. Once some human being has heard it, it is so powerful. And God loves people. God loves people. And once a human spirit has heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, it has a way of getting so down in their spirit that they can't forget it. It's that powerful. So if you have loved ones who you think they're never going to come to Christ, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep believing God, especially if you've told them the message of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you never know when that message is going to come to fruition. And here's the part of Dale's testimony I did not know. After Vicki went home and packed her bags, he said he came home and found her note. And he got so depressed, the first thing he grabbed was a bottle of Jim Beam. And he said, I'm just going to drink myself to death. He said, I'm just going to stay drunk, and I'm going to drink myself to death. And he said, after he'd done about half a bottle of Jim Beam, was really drunk. Later that evening, and this is shocking, and you got, if I did not know Dale the way I do, I probably would not share this, because it sounds astronomical. But he said that evening, he said it was about 11 o'clock at night, he said he saw the ugliest, shadowy, and he said, I know now they were demon figures that came around me and were laughing at me and mocking at me and telling me, go on, drink. Go on, drink. And he said, Pastor, it scared me. And he said, I tried to call Vicki. She wouldn't take my calls. He said, I thought about calling you, but I thought he's dealt with me so much, he's tired of having to deal with my situation. And he said that for the next 7 days, this process went on. He said he knew he wanted free, but these demon spirits would come at night. And he said they would stand around my bed and mock me and make fun of me for my drinking, telling me it was going to destroy me and send me to hell and that I couldn't quit it. But on the eighth day, he said about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as he was sitting reading his Bible, he said, Pastor, I remembered a message that you had preached. And I read those very words in my Bible out of Matthew chapter 27, where Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. And he said, I remember the message you preached on how it was only through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that a person could be set free. And he said, finally, I threw myself on the floor and I asked the Lord, I said, I can't quit this, but will you help me? He said, I'll give my life totally over to you. I want my wife back. I want my family back. And I can't quit this drinking on my own. Will you help me? If you are who I've been told you are, I give my life to you. Come and help me. And he said, almost instantaneously, he felt a freedom of peace flow over his soul and spirit like he had never known before. And he said, that night, Pastor, I slept like a baby. He said, and the desire for alcohol was completely gone. He said, I emptied our entire house of it. And he said, I knew where Vicki was staying with her mom. He said, I drove over there. At first, she didn't want to talk to me. But he said, I went in, and he said, forcefully so. And he got down on his knees in front of her and said, Vicki, I'm sorry, but I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And I haven't had a drink now for over 48 hours, and I have no desire for it. He said, will you come home? Will you give me another chance? And Vicki was always a godly woman, at least ever since I knew her. And I know, with the way Dale told the story, that the Holy Spirit of God showed her, this is for real. He's not playing. And she said, Dale, she said, I'll give it one more try. But she said, if you start drinking again, she said, I'm leaving and I will never have nothing to do with you anymore. And today, God restored his family. He restored his marriage. He restored his finances. And all Dale can talk about now, he told me the other day, he said, I just love sitting around talking about Jesus. I've never seen a more gentler, humbler spirit in my life. Church, this is powerful, this message that we carry. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus is still in the soul-saving business. There is no power on this earth that can deliver a person from sin, from alcohol and bondage, except the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Think of that. And I tell you that story for this reason. We as human beings, from God's perspective, we're a pretty hard study. Even us as believers, as I was preparing this message, I believe the Lord gave me the thought that if he didn't allow difficulty that we couldn't handle to come into our lives sometimes, we'd forget all about him. Because you know what? And I thought, oh, I was so convicted over this. You know, the only things I take to the Lord are the things I think I can't handle. I want you to think on that for just a minute. Do we pray about everything that's going on in our lives? And man, just a feeling of conviction just gripped me. And I thought, oh Lord. I thought, even someone like me who knows and loves the message of the cross, I'm guilty in so many instances of leaning on my own human strength. And this text that we read this morning, Jesus had just finished doing the teaching on the shores of Galilee. And he says to his disciples, he's tired. You must remember, Jesus was all God, but yet he was all man at the same time. And in his humanity, he would get tired. And those of you who minister, if you teach, preach, worship leader, if you work in ministry, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing more physically exhausting. I mean that. You may think it looks like, oh, you just get up, say a few words, or sing a song, but it goes much, much deeper than that. It goes into the realm of the spirit. And it's physically taxing. And Jesus had taught for probably about 4 to 6 hours when he finally got into the boat, as was his custom, and asked his disciples, said, let us go to the other side. He was worn out. He needed to rest. He needed some time to refresh himself in his humanity. But Jesus got on the boat knowing, no doubt, that they were going to be sailing right into one of the worst storms to ever hit the Sea of Galilee. And it was at Jesus' command. He said, let's get into the boat and let's go to the other side. Now, I want you to think of that for just a moment. Here is the Lord of glory, who's full of love and grace and mercy toward all of us. But yet he tells his disciples in this boat this day, let us go to the other side, with full knowledge that this storm is coming. I want to submit something to you right now. I don't know what storm in your life you might be facing this morning, but God knew it was coming before it even hit. He knew what was coming into your life before it ever arose. And in a sense, that should give us peace, because he is the master of every storm, of every difficulty, of every perplexing situation, of things we don't understand that are above our head. He knew, if you're his child today, that storm was coming before it even hit. And he commands them to sail headlong into it. But I want you to look at these words. They just gripped me as I read them. Let us launch out and let us go to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. There's so much in that. If you got Jesus, you're going to get to where he wants you to go. Whatever happens along the journey, whatever storm comes, hallelujah, you are guaranteed to get to the other side, because Jesus He's more than in the boat with you. He's in your soul and he's in your spirit. And the Bible says, he said it, I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Glory to God. And as they launch out, Jesus in his exhausted state goes to the back of the boat and lays down and takes a nap. I want to submit to you, I think he still does this today in our soul and spirit sometimes. Because he's got to allow something that's above our head. Something that we know without his help we're never going to get through, we're never going to overcome. He has to allow it. Because were he not to allow such, we would become so self-sufficient and so self-dependent that he would be reduced to a place of insignificance in all of our lives. Now, we don't like to think of that. I know. It was hard for me, too, when the Lord was showing me this, so it might be hard for you this morning. I know we like to think of ourselves as a bunch of folks, oh, I love Jesus, so I would never forget him. Well, you know, there's a guy in the Bible that said that, and it took him just a few hours before he was denying he even knew who he was. Peter, of course. And he walked with him. You think, oh, if I could just walk with him and see the miracles. Peter saw him. Peter saw him, and still in just a few hours. So the Lord has to allow the storms to come. And there's going to be times he's going to command us to go headlong into them, knowing what's coming. Now, we don't think of it that way, do we? We think that, unfortunately, we've heard so much errant teaching over the last 20 or 30 years in the church, and it's been drilled into a lot of our minds that if you're living and serving for God, everything's just going to be rosy all the time. You're never going to have a problem. And if it does come up, well, if you have the faith, you can just confess it away. Oh, I wish they were right. I really do. But they're not. They're not. God is going to allow the storms to come. And at times he's going to command us in situations to go headlong into them. And have you ever done this one? I'm sure you have, if you've walked with the Lord any amount of time at all. Well, I believe this is the direction God wants me to go. And you know what? You're probably right. He said, my sheep know my voice. But have you ever done that and gone that direction and all hell break loose? Huh? Ravon and I were talking just the other day, and it's a good illustration. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but it's a good illustration. As I stand before you today, I know the Lord commanded our family to move to the Springfield, Ohio area from Mount Vernon and Newark area. I know it. There's not a doubt in my mind. And man, I thought I am going to go there with this message of the cross. Man, they're going to get a hold of this. This church is. And they are going to love this. And man, we are really going to touch that area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God sent me headlong into the worst storm of my life. But what I want you to see this morning, what the Holy Spirit wants us to see this morning, is simply this. When he commands you to go to a certain way in a certain place, he's going to get you to the other side. The storm may hit, and it may scare you to death, and you may think you're going to die, exactly as it was this day with the disciples. As they launch out at the command of Jesus, and what does he do? He lays down and takes a nap, with the full knowledge that he's commanded them to sail into a storm. They don't know it's coming, because I'm told the topography of the Sea of Galilee is such, and where it's situated geographically, it is a perfect setting. It sits down in a valley. And it is the perfect setting, and it's a huge lake, by the way, also. It's a perfect setting for storms to develop very quickly. It's known for how the storms can, it can be just a bright, sunny day like this, and within a few moments, the sea will be a raging torrent. That's the topography of the Sea of Galilee. And so it was on this day. Probably when they launched out, Jesus commanded them, let's go to the other side. It was probably a sunny, beautiful day. He lays down to take a nap with his full knowledge of what's coming and what he's commanded them to sail into. And the storm hits. And Jesus wants to teach them faith. And here's what the crux of what the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants us to know this morning. Jesus can be trusted with your faith. He can be trusted with your finances. He can be trusted with your family. He can be trusted with your job. If he's commanded you to go there, if the storm hits, keep on believing him. It's not a sign you didn't hear from him. It's not a sign you've done something wrong. But the Lord was building faith in his disciples. And he does this process the same way over and over and over again, even in our lives today. And sometimes obeying him is going to lead you right into one of the worst situations you've ever been in your life. Amen, Pastor. That's great preaching, Brother Greg. We're going to shout with you over that one. Now, I know it don't make any of us shout, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And the storm comes out of the blue, unannounced and suddenly. And the disciples, and the Bible says the boat was full. Do you know what that means? That means that the waves had become so violent and so large so quickly that the boat was full of water and was about to literally sink. But Jesus is asleep in the hinder parts of it. You know, sometimes he just stands by. I've been there before. You have too. Where the storm is hit and you're crying out and the heavens seem like brass. You're not getting an answer. The storm's not subsiding. And it goes on and on and on. And you think, Lord, I am going to die if this thing don't end. But he's there. Glory to God, he's there. He's there. Hallelujah to his name. And don't you wish that sometimes he'd wake up sooner than what he does? But he's in control of everything. And they finally realize that their ship's out of control. Now, you know, if they had... Now, bear in mind who these people are for just a minute as I try and set this up for us. These guys have seen him do the miraculous before. This is not his first miracle. They have seen him do marvelously, wondrously, miraculous actions. Now, if it were me, common sense dictates to us, why didn't they go wake him up when they first saw the storm coming? I'm going to tell you why. They thought, we can handle the storm. We're masters of the sea. We're fishermen. We know how to navigate this boat, and we know all about this sea. And we know how these storms can come up quickly. We can handle it. Reverting back to what I told you at the start of the message. We presume upon the Lord too many times and thinking we can handle something. And God's got to show us, without me, you can't do anything. That's what he wanted to teach the disciples these days. Bear in mind who they were. These guys were not foreign to this lake. They fished it every day of their lives. They were aware of how the storms could come suddenly up. And when they saw it coming, they thought, just another storm. I can deal with it. But this one was greater than anything they'd ever seen before. And it so ravaged their boat that it was now full of water. I'll be frank. My personal belief, if you'll allow me a little conjecture, they'd never seen a storm like this before. It's the worst one any of them had ever been in. And now, in their pride and in their self-sufficiency, they've let it go too long. Have you ever been there before? God knows I have too many times. When I've looked back on the situation and I've thought, Lord Jesus, why did I not cry out to you before the time I did? But you see, the things that we think we can handle, we won't call on him for. And we ought to be calling on him for everything. I mean, when he said in John 14, I am the vine, ye are the branches, outside of me, you can do nothing. He literally meant that. He literally meant that. We can't do anything without him. And of course, he was speaking, I mean, don't take it too far. I mean, you can put on your shoes. and get yourself dressed. He was talking about as far as living life was the context he was speaking in. As we live out our Christian experience, he said, you can do nothing without me. This is why prayer is so vital. This is why I start every day with prayer, calling upon him, telling him to lead me, or not telling him, asking him to lead me and guide me in the minutest of situations. And even then, I don't do it often enough. But these disciples were overconfident and they were self-sufficient. And if the Lord does not interrupt that type of thinking in the lives of his children, we'll forget about him. We'll forget about him very quickly. Very quickly. But that's what made this the perfect storm. Because Jesus Christ had engineered the storm. He'd engineered the entire trip. And how like God to choose something. And I don't know about your life, but he's always done this in my life anyway. He always chooses the thing that I think I am so brilliant in that I can handle myself to send the storm to show you don't have it together there like you think you do. You got to have me, Greg. You got to have me. And this boat is now full of water and it's sinking. And then finally, just like Dale Pribonow, aren't you glad for God's grace and mercy? Aren't you glad he looks beyond our faults and sees our needs? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus so covers us and so provides us with his grace and mercy that it allows God to look beyond our pride, to look beyond our self-sufficiency, to look beyond our ego, that when we finally realize, hey, the boat's sinking, but Jesus is in the back of it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's better than in the back of your boat. He's in your soul and he's in your spirit. And you know what? He's not going to leave you. Everybody else in this world might leave you, but he won't, glory to God. I know, I've been there. When everybody else in the world has given up on you, he won't. He'll be there. He means what he says. He is a friend that sits closer than a brother. Hallelujah. And then finally, I don't know which one of them it was. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us. Somebody had the good sense. Let's go wake up Jesus. And what do? They come to him in the most raucous of manners and the most urgent of need. And they say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Now, ain't that just like us? I had to laugh on that one when I read it as I was studying this. That's just like us. When the storm comes, God's forgot about me. He don't love me no more. If he did, I wouldn't be in this mess, and he won't answer me. I've cried to him all day. I've done the purpose-driven life 100 times, and I still ain't got no answer. I'm convinced that when the Lord is going to build faith in us, he has to let us go to the point where all, not some, all hope of us getting ourselves out of the mess is gone. Really, because we are so prideful as humans. We are, my goodness. You know, that's the root of the sin nature is pride. And the Lord, before he can step in and build faith in us, pride has to go first. Pride must go. Because as long as there's any pride in there in the situation, you know what we're going to be doing? I can handle it. I can deal with this. But it's when we get to that point where Dale was, we say, Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I can't change my life. I can't set myself free. But I'm asking you to do it. Oh, when you get to that point, look out. You're about to find Jesus. You're about to find Jesus. And they ask him, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he gets up and looks at him. And he walks to the front of the boat and speaks to that storm and says, peace, be still. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know whether, I wish the Holy Spirit would have given us a little bit more detail on this. But I can't help but think, when he walked to the front of that boat, There was a gang of fearful fishermen on that boat that were his disciples, trembling in fear. And they watch him walk to the front of the boat and say, "Peace, be still." And immediately, the Bible says, that sea became as calm as it was when they launched out. And they looked at him in awe. One of the great sins of the church, the modern church, is that it's lost its awe of Jesus Christ. It's lost its awe. That when we congregate together every service, when we think about what he has done for us on the cross, we ought to come with awe-struck wonder, knowing that we were sin-bound and we were hell-bound and we are so incapable of doing anything to help ourselves, but yet through his grace and mercy via his atoning sacrifice on the cross, that we have all the help and all the power that heaven has at our disposal. Hallelujah. And we have his command. We're going to the other side. I've got to stop and preach here for a minute. I really feel the preach coming on right now. Some of you in your situation, you may feel like, "I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to make it." That's a lie of the enemy, because the Lord of your soul has said, "I've laid up for you treasure in heaven." He said, "I have made a mansion for you in heaven." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." I'm telling you this morning, church, we have the same promise that these disciples had. Jesus has said, "We're going to the other side," and he's in our spirit, and we're going to go, and you're going to make it. Hallelujah. I don't care how great the storm is. And you know these word of faith teachers that say, "Oh, if you have fear, Jesus won't help you." These disciples were scared out of their minds. That's the stupidest theology anybody's ever heard of. "Oh, if you have fear, God's not going to help you." Now, you got to be like me and not have any fear. I bet if the Lord would pull back the masquerade they're showing on, you'd see the biggest cowards on the face of the planet. They're just putting on a show. Why? Because we're fearful people. Why do you think so many times in Scripture, when Jesus made an appearance, even in the Old Testament or especially in the New, first thing he says is, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Why? Because we're fearful. But his grace and mercy is greater than our fear. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, don't you feel that this morning? Give him a hand of praise. And when he speaks to your storm, to your situation, and it's not if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. That's what we need to know. It's not an if, it's just when. And I know we'd all like him to do it a lot sooner than he does. I know I would, Paul, wouldn't you? Don't you wish he'd speak a lot sooner than what he does a lot of the time? But he's in control of the storm. He sent us into it. He sent us into the situation. But he will speak to it. Your boat's not going to sink. You're not going to face the tragedies that the enemy is telling you you're going to face. And no doubt, Satan himself was behind this storm. No doubt in an attempt to maybe kill a few of the disciples, or in his deluded way of thinking, perhaps even to kill the Lord Jesus himself. And he'll tell you, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to take you down this time." That's a lie. Let me tell you something. If Satan could destroy any of us, he'd have already done it. He'd have already done it. Glory to God. He can't, though. He can't do it, because we are under the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. That's why I say you can't overpreach the cross. That's what I told Dale yesterday. And he said, "Pastor, I know exactly what you mean now. I've learned that everything I'm ever going to get, all power, all strength, All help, all assistance is going to come because my faith is what in what he did at the cross, and that's what allows the power of God to flow to me. Hallelujah. Oh, I wanted to jump out of that swimming pool and shout. We was down the deep end of a swimming pool. I said, Dale, you've got me about ready to jump out of this water. Who knows, maybe I should have tried. I might have walked on it. The glory was filling my soul because I knew where this man had come from. I'd seen him get so angry and show up at the church door with the meanest of looks on his face. And to see him now, Ravana, you know him. He is one of the most peaceful, lovable, gentle people you'd ever want to be around. God's in the business of transforming lives. Hallelujah. And he's in the business of taking what we think is going to be our destruction and turn it in to greater faith in him. And after he speaks these words, peace be still, he goes back and lays down again. And the disciples are just sitting there in awestruck wonder. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? As I begin to close, a little side note here. There's no word for man in the Greek text. There's no word. The King James translators probably made an error when they translated, what manner of man is this? The literal Greek, according to one of the greatest Greek scholars who ever lived, Kenneth Wiest, is, what kind of person is this? Person is the, what kind of person is this? I'll tell you what kind of person he is. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of your storm. He's the Lord of your life. He is your Savior. He is your King. And he has said, you're going to make it to the other side. And he meant exactly what he said, just like he told the disciples this day. That's not to say that at times the journey is going to get rough and we're going to get fearful. But he's there. He's there. And he's in control of everything that's going on. And when you exhaust all of your human effort and you're driven to the point of despair, wit's end, if you will, and then you finally have the sense, all of us, I'm including myself, I'm not talking down to nobody, we finally have the sense to say, Lord Jesus, I cannot handle this. I don't have a clue of how to deal with it. And more than likely, it's going to be in an area that you're very familiar with that you think you can handle. He's going to send the storm to show you, without me, you can do nothing. But then he'll rise up and he'll speak to your storm. And I've learned what I've preached to you today. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your family. You can trust him with your faith. You'll go through some storms. But hallelujah, notice what I said. You'll go through some storms. Woo! Glory to God. You'll go through them. You'll go through them. I said, you'll go through them. My Lord, y'all are asleep this morning. I said, you'll go through them. You'll go through them. You'll go through them. You'll go through them. Because he's in control and he's got you on a course. And that's a course of ultimate blessing and ultimate bliss. Keep your faith in him. Don't think he's forsaken you. Don't think he don't love you anymore. He's there. He's there. And he's dwelling inside of you and I. But he's not a magic genie. I know that's a lot of the theology we've heard over the last 20, 30 years. God's this magic genie that if you rub the lamp the right way, you'll get exactly what you want from him. No, unfortunately, that's not true. Sometimes he'll leave us in a storm for a long time. This ain't going to make nobody shout what I'm about to say. Sometimes he'll leave us there for years. I know that's not what you want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Why? Because we need to know. We need to know that he's merely building faith in us if we're his children. That he's not going to be mean to us. And in conclusion, you know, the greatest thing I would have to say I've learned out of the message of the cross is, of course, I mean, it goes without saying, the liberty we have, the freedom that we have. But the greatest lesson I've personally learned is that he will be God to you. He will be God. And he will take you through things that you thought, I can't deal with this, Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I feel I need to share this with you. When everything first began to fall apart at Christ Chapel, I was pretty prideful and arrogant. Not toward people, but in myself and in my walk with the Lord. I thought, I can handle this. I'm going to put my faith in the cross and I'm going to pray my way through this. And this church is going to turn around and grow. Didn't happen that way. But when the smoke settled and the dust cleared, I was still standing with a greater faith in the Lord Jesus Christ than I'd ever had before. That's the greatest thing he's ever given me, is the knowledge that he can be trusted. Hallelujah. If you've got that, you can get through anything. If you understand, if he gives you a revelation of his wonderful, gracious, and merciful character, and you really get to know him in that way, the knowledge that he's not going to fail you will so strengthen you in your darkest hours that he calls you to go through. And they're going to come. The storms are going to come. But simply in conclusion, I pray this morning, I know this has been a reminder to most of you, I know I haven't told you one thing that you haven't already known. But maybe we needed a reminder today, and that's why the Holy Spirit had me preach it. But that knowledge that he really will be God to me, he really will take me through anything. And on the other side of it, there'll be greater peace, there'll be greater faith, and I'll have the knowledge that he can really be trusted with anything in my life. I don't know that I had that before the last 3 years. I'll be honest. I'm positive I did. I believed it, that he would. But now I know that he will. Praise God. It's the greatest thing he can give you. It's when he moves you because of a storm that he's allowed to come, that he's sent you into. And he moves you from believing that he can to knowing that he will. Praise God. You're in the perfect storm today because he engineered it. Whatever storm is going on in your life, he engineered it. He's in control of it. And he loves you. And he's just building faith. And you're going to get to the other side. And when you get there, you'll know. You'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I no longer believe he can. I know he will. Praise God. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Glory to God. Well, there you got the introduction. I've got 4 pages of wonderful notes here that you'd have just been astounded by had I preached them. But the Holy Ghost preached. That's what's most important. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Yes, Michelle, that's the song. Paul, would you come and sing that just quietly? I know you know it. Because he lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Praise God. Praise God. I know I'm putting you on the spot, buddy, but I appreciate you. Just sing it and let him touch you. Because he lives. You can face tomorrow. because he lives. All fear is gone. Perfect love drives out all fear. He holds our future. Sing it again, Paul. And as you're singing it, I feel the Holy Spirit moving upon everyone. Lift your hands and praise him today. Call upon him now. Call upon him now. He can solve that situation that you think can't be addressed. He holds. He holds our future. Yes, it is. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the movement of your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, take us in our spirit today from believing you can to knowing that you will. And Lord, that's never an easy route. Along that route are going to be storms. Storms that you're going to have to speak to for us. Storms that you will speak to for us because you've called us into them. But on the other side of it, we're going to be taken from just believing you can to knowing that you will. The storms in our lives right now, they're perfect storms, Lord, because you called us into them and you're in control of them. And you're with us. Hallelujah. You're with us, Lord Jesus. And we receive by faith right now your divine assistance. And I feel to tell this before I have Paul and Michelle conclude with a few more verses of that song. Your storm may not end right away. I want you to know that. It could go on for years. But if the Lord allows it to go on that long, he's going to manifest himself along the way. But he will speak to it eventually, those beautiful words. Peace be still. Peace be still. It's coming. It's not a question of if, just when. Know that. Know that. And praise him for it, that he loves us enough to take us through. And we have his glorious promise. We're going to the other side. We're going to go through. We're going to go through. Hallelujah. We're going to go through because of Jesus. One more time, would you all sing it? And let him bless you as they sing it. Let the Holy Spirit move upon you because he lives. Yes, he did. He sent his son. Yes, he did. Praise God.
Heal and forgive.
He bled and died.
He lived and died.
Yes, he did.
Do by my pardon.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
An empty grave.
Yes.
Is there to prove my Savior lives. I can face tomorrow.
You can face it because he's living in you.
Because he lives.
Thank you, Lord.
All fear is gone.
Praise God.
Because I know
he holds our future.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Praise God, praise God. Give him a hand of praise today, church. Oh, I feel victory in this sanctuary today. I feel like some burdens have been lightened and some fresh hope and fresh faith has been poured in by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Yeah, that's why it's so imperative that we preach the truth of his word. Because no matter how bumblingly, and I prove this just about every Sunday, and Wednesday night, no matter how bumblingly it's delivered, if it's the truth of God's word, the Holy Spirit will move and help and strengthen people. And I praise God for that. that it doesn't rest on man's ability, but it's all on His power. And when our faith is in Christ and Him crucified, we can be assured and even guaranteed that power is going to flow. Hallelujah. Give Him one more hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for coming out today on this beautiful 4th of July weekend to be in God's house. I'm sure a lot of you have activities planned you're going to be getting to. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and it's been a delight to have you in God's house this morning. Andy, I'm going to ask you if you would. Would you come dismiss us in prayer today?